Census 1234 invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Tim Minchin.
Yes. Thank you, Sweden's finest. Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard, Ed Cavalier.
Morning, Tony. Morning.
Didn't realise your mic was on. And a big round of fake applause for our co-host this morning, Tim Minchin.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, fake audience.
Can we hear that? Because we've had trouble. Bob Franklin was in yesterday. People calling up saying that they couldn't hear him. And the trouble is that we're here in the haunted studio.
There it is.
And it doesn't give us an accurate picture in our headphones of what's going out. So if you could just give us a mic check.
It doesn't give us an accurate picture in our headphones?
No.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm not sure myself. I won't know till I listen back to the
magic picture headphones with my seeing ears.
The black box recording will reveal all. Yep. But I'd like to think that this program is going out.
Oh, yeah.
So we can hope for that at the very least.
It's reaching people.
It makes you wonder if you exist, if it's not.
We have two or three existential crises per program.
Wow.
Tim, your publicist described you as actor, comedian, musician. Is that how you see yourself?
These days I go musician, comedian, actor, in terms of the last time I worked in each of those fields.
Right.
So at the moment I'm a musician, comedian.
Yes.
You know, maybe acting will come back and haunt me.
Getting around town doing your show it's on at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. It's going to be going up to Brisbane. It's going to be going to Sydney. But just take us back in time. 18 months ago, before it began, what were you up to?
Well, I was sort of thinking maybe this crazy show of mine with the funny songs and the silly stuff was going okay, but I wasn't really getting any work out of it, so I was playing in cover bands just down the road here at the Elephant Wheelbarrow in St Kilda.
Did you take requests?
Well, no, I didn't. I was the guy standing up the back with the keyboard just whacking in the string parts, of Nickelback tunes, really.
Oh, really?
If they have string parts. And, you know, my greatest moment every night would be the beginning of Holy Grail when I could go, ba, 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 na, 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 and I have one hand up in the air doing the rock horns, and everyone go, there's a keyboard player, and I'd go, I'm alive! I'm playing the songs. And it was fine. It was just a lot of weekend nights where I'd be going out to parties and everyone would be, let's fire up. And I'd go, it's 9 o'clock. I better go to work. Go in there at 10 o'clock and start at 10:30 and finish at 2:30 and go home and just shoot myself in the mouth.
There you go. Standard day at the office.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's good. It's good.
And what do people request these days?
Yeah, that's what I want to
know. If you're a cover band, what is the top request?
Oh, look, I don't know. I'd be given a CD every few weeks to learn all the new tunes, and I wouldn't even... I'm actually really terrible about listening to what the kids are listening to.
Right.
I don't know. So I know all these songs that kind of go... and the drums go... and I don't know what the bands are or anything. I just used to learn them. So, but, in any cover band, you can't really go past doing... Blister in the Sun. Walk 500 miles. Really. I think time stopped after 500 miles in terms of cover bands.
Would they sing in Scottish accents? Would the singers bust it out?
No, they were very Aussie. I mean, you keep trying, you keep up with the new tunes, but they come and go.
Right.
But Blister in the Sun is...
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, just like most sun-caused skin diseases, it stays forever.
It's a perennial favourite.
Yeah, that's right.
And did I read somewhere in your information that you do a bit of documentary work too, music for like the Discovery Channel?
Yeah, well, that's actually, the thing... I come from Perth in Western Australia, in case you're not quite sure where it is. And it's cool. And a lot of my work was writing music for theatre, really. That's what I was sort of composing for theatre and for film and stuff like that and getting somewhere. But I like being on stage and being the sort of centre of attention a bit. Yeah, no, I was sort of missing that. So I got back into acting a bit and then I came over here and got very... frustrated because I wasn't really getting acting work in my band, all my band stuff. I was sick of pubs and stuff, and so I just started doing this solo stuff because it's just not as much noise and bogans and stuff.
And your acting work, I notice you say that you've understudied for Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar, and I've seen so many. I did a book last year where I talk about a production of Jesus Christ Superstar where I saw a bloke wearing a fake beard on top of his normal beard.
Right.
Because he was just simply trying to draw attention to himself, which is something you have to do in the amateur theatre. You need a big beard.
Yeah.
But are you talking about professional productions?
It was sort of crossover stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Semi-professional?
They call it Pro-Am.
Right.
Pro-Am, meaning professional / amateur, is where some people get paid and others don't.
Yes.
And that's okay. Yeah. I did a production with Angry Anderson was playing Herod. It wasn't the Arena Spectacular. It was after we were kind of cashing in on that. Angry was playing Herod, whatever that part is, and Mark Williams, you know, the guy with the little curly hair, the Pee Wee guy? Yeah, what did he sing?
Oh, it's need a helping hand. Was that him?
No, I don't think so.
Show No Mercy? Was that him?
I'm sure we'll get consensus from someone out there. Someone will phone.
But
that was pretty full on, and I didn't get paid. And I found out later it was actually produced by Hillsong.
Oh!
So it was like a seriously religious version of a musical, which is basically about how they were just all funky disco people. this guy's going, we've got to get the, you know, this actually is about the Bible. And I'm like, it's about disco.
But you say understudy. I mean, did you ever get up there? Or were you just, who were you understudying?
I've actually been in Jesus Christ Superstar twice. It's my favourite musical ever. Yeah. I played Pilate once. And one of the disciples the second time, and I was understudying Judas both times, and I've never played the role, and one day I will. Until then, there's a little Judas-shaped shadow in my soul that I'm trying to fill with drugs and having sex, but it's not. I need to play him, and then I can die happily.
Well, maybe we can make that dream come true.
I'd love to.
Today, on Get This.
Yeah.
I think we're back on air.
Yeah, sorry.
Hold on, we're just talking about something here.
The program just continues while the music is playing. Great Southern Lad, that was Ice House. Tim Minchin is sitting in with us. His show is on at the Comedy Festival in Melbourne. It's then going to be in Brisbane at the Powerhouse.
Yeah. I'm
Sydney.
Sydney, Brisbane and Powerhouse next week.
Right.
Which is like the first to the sixth or something, and then ninth till the 14th at the Opera House in Sydney.
Right.
Well, I saw the show on Wednesday. Kicked ass.
Yeah, well, that's the new show. I'm doing the old show in Brisbane and Sydney because they haven't really seen it yet.
No, it kicks older ass, but ass is still kicking.
The old show kicks.
It was good.
It's a different ass, but it still gets a fair old kicking.
Does it get electrocuted, though? Because that's what they're doing to the housemates on Big Brother.
My worst habits are making noises.
Apparently that's what I haven't seen it since the first one.
Oh, I saw 3 minutes the other night late, and it was
that's
so angry.
You're angry because you want to be in there
so bad.
You just so want to be so bad. Charged with voltage.
He has auditioned every single year.
Yes, and every year I say I'm outgoing. I'm a free spirit, and I just like to have fun.
And you like people, and you just want to go in there and have an adventure.
Exactly. I'm just in there for experience and to find love.
And to find if it happens to be there. Happens. I'm not even quite sure which gender I'm into yet, but I just want to find something in there.
Did you say that someone you know came second last year?
Yeah, Tim, a friend of mine from university, not Tim mentioned, Tim.
Tim, the little, the one with the brain and the kind of slightly androgynous kind of.
That's him.
I like all the girls, but in a non-sexual way.
That him?
Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
What was his catchphrase? Did he, you know, did the public take to him?
Oh, I don't know. I guess they kind of did because he came second.
They did. It was really, really surprising.
And has he, you know, has his life changed since being in there?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, still kicking about and doing his thing.
What's his thing?
Being a journalist. He's a journalist. He's being like a political journalist and, you know, being an agent provocateur. Or whatever it is, you know.
So he understands people who have been trapped in captivity.
Yeah,
you can interview them.
Yeah.
What about, here's a big story. If you, it's a really disturbingly unpleasant story. But the Kevin Costner sex scandal. Have you heard about this?
No. What has he done?
This is Kevin Costner has been named as the Hollywood star accused of performing a quote disgusting sex act before a hotel masseuse. This happened in Scotland a couple of years ago, and the story's been going around in various papers, but they haven't been able to name who the celebrity is.
What do you mean he performed a disgusting sex act?
Well, he allegedly, and keep in mind, this is the allegations of a disgruntled ex-hotel employee, so it could all be made up. But
you know what they're like.
But it's
in Scotland, did you say?
In Scotland.
They have masseuses there.
That's apparently. have gone nuts.
Times have changed.
But he was changed. He was at a sort of international...
Yeah, that's your massage. Oh, get your hands off it.
Well, that's a happy ending. But he goes...
You like that?
It says here...
You like that, don't you?
He dropped his towel and asked the masseuse if she would like to have a fiddle with the untouchables, as he calls them. And the woman says he was in the process of... This is Costner. He was in the process of making himself excited.
Oh, yeah. Is he just acting for himself?
He was fiddling about downstairs and repeating the mantra, if I build it, it will come. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. That's an unnecessary comment at this time of the morning.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, leave him alone. Surely, if you can't have a fiddle after a massage in Scotland as a Hollywood star...
Hang on.
When do you get to a point in your career where that's okay? If Kevin can't do it, I mean, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going back to Edinburgh this year. Last year, I was anonymous. I could do it as much as I could. This year, I end up on Who magazine.
Now the pressure's on.
That's right.
You've got to live
hands
up.
Off, Tim. They'll say, hands off, Tim, on the front page of the Daily Sun. Yeah.
But the thing is...
Piano man fingers, you know, the wrong key. Whatever. That is
that's what they'll be saying.
That's right. And not on song, Tim.
And you'll be reading going, how many stars have they given
that's
me?
Right.
That's the most important thing.
You like that, don't you?
The thing is, though, isn't that the most interesting thing that Kevin Costner's done in years? I mean, just that's far more interesting than Message in a Bottle or For the Love of the Game.
Are these, what are they, movies?
The movies he's put out. Films he can't remember releasing. So anyway, watch out for that Kevin Costner.
He's just attention-seeking now.
Isn't he?
He is.
Me.
What about Terror Boss Abu Musab al-Zarqawi? He's shown his face on TV and released a video threatening the West. That's pretty standard practice, normal day at the office for al-Zarqawi. What I've noticed, though, is that a lot of these blokes like to do that thing where you're making a bit of a speech and you're in a room, usually a fairly anonymous room, with just a gun propped up against the back corner.
And some dudes. Got to have some dudes hanging around.
Yeah, some dudes looking convinced.
Yeah.
But then there's always a cut.
Gently nodding.
To them outside just firing off a machine gun in the middle of the desert.
To show that they're serious.
Wouldn't it be good? Shouldn't John Howard get into a bit of that? Shouldn't George Bush? It's all very well to get up on a podium and say, you know, war on terror. And you can't let the terrorists win. Cut to him firing a gun
it's
off.
It's a good idea.
It would be
accurate. Shooting one of his fellow staff members.
There you
that's
go.
What wow, he does. That'll show that he's serious.
Yeah, that's right. I even shoot my own friends.
See, top that, al-Zarqawi.
Yeah.
Get out on the golf course and shoot one of your buddies.
It works on me, though, because you realise that these dudes... Like firing guns in the air. I've never held a gun. I'd be scared. No. I'm scared of people firing guns in the air.
Yeah.
The implication is they might fire them at me.
That's true.
I think that's what they're saying.
You've got it. You've cotton on this.
I think that's what they're saying.
I think that's what the message there.
You've nutted out the al-Zarqawi method. We've mentioned John Howard. And you know, let's do something about John Howard and sex lines. I think we're gonna do that next. On Get This.
Get This.
That's sort of trumped up rubbish, I think, yeah.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
John Howard. Sex. It's all coming up next on Get This.
Triple M.
I'm going to guess that was Nickelback with Saving Me here at Triple M.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Tim Minchin is with us. Tim, do you get accosted by people in the street after your shows? Outraged people?
I haven't up until this year. My show is a little bit kind of darker this year, and you have to listen, otherwise you might miss something.
You've gone darker than Dark Side.
Darker than Dark Side. Yeah, I'm so cutting edge. I'm actually not very cutting edge. I'm sort of nice, and then I say something nasty, and then I'm nice again. But I did get just bailed up by a young girl, sort of 19 years of age, good sentence, ning-a-ming. And she just said, she just told me I was sexist and started quoting, like, she's obviously studying feminism at uni, which is great. And I met my wife at uni and she was studying, I actually was studying feminism as well, believe it or not, and just getting nailed every tutorial by nine women. And she was just in that headspace and I just went,
please don't be mean to me. I'm just doing the funny jokes. And I was terrible because I engaged her in a sort of feminist discourse, which is right. A terrible idea because she wasn't there for that. She was there to be cross with me. And and I just felt like going, darling. I should have said,
doll.
Sweetie, in a couple of years, you'll feel better. It's going to be okay. You're not actually the suppressed minority. You're a little rich girl in Melbourne. Go to Sierra Leone if you're worried about it. Come up to me.
Well, you can go and see Tim when he comes to your town and stick
nail
around.
Me.
Nail him up afterwards.
Yeah. I will be engaged.
What about the work of Silvio Berlusconi?
I love Silvio.
Silvio is the best.
He still hasn't given up the prime ministership of Italy. He's still hanging in there.
Is he?
But I think my favourite, we've been on 4 weeks now, my favourite single news story has been the one how he was bailed up by journalists who discovered that he'd been calling phone sex chat lines at night time. Somehow they found that out and they said, well, what's that about? And he's gone, I was canvassing the women on my policies to see what they thought of them.
That's the sort of thing Kevin Costner might have said.
That's
they were helping get away with it. I was canvassing my policy.
I was canvassing my genitals. But
what do you think of this?
I thought that was a thin and better than tin cup.
You shouldn't palm off your constituents, Kevin.
There you go. He's always doing that. But that, I thought this Berlusconi story was, you know, a thin enough excuse to call up phone sex lines and pretend to be John Howard. And I thought I'd be sitting there for hours recording these. Mm. But the very first one that we got, this is what happened. It was a couple of mornings ago. And, yeah.
No one answered.
Here we go.
I'm ready and waiting for your call. You won't be disappointed.
Good.
Calls charged at $2.75 per minute.
What about the GST? Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's Amanda.
Oh, it's not Amanda Vanstone, is it?
No.
I'm the most powerful man in Australia.
Really?
Tell me, what are you wearing?
Not all that much. Just sitting in bed.
Are you? What are you doing there?
What would you like me to be doing?
Oh, well, I thought we could perhaps, and tell me if this is a little frank, I thought we could discuss the Don's extraordinary test average.
Okay.
Does that excite you?
Yeah.
What do you know about Don Bradman?
Not all that much.
You know what I'm doing?
What are you doing?
I'm sitting here wearing a very loose-fitting polyester jogging suit.
Are you?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm relieving my own tax burden.
Are you?
I'm deregulating my own pants. Hello?
Yeah?
Was that a Ted Frank for you?
Tell me what else you're doing.
Oh, let's see. I'm stripping away the unfair dismissal laws.
Are you?
Does that turn you on?
Very much so.
Is that a bird in the background?
Yes, it is.
Does it talk dirty?
No, it only says hello.
It's turning me on as it is. See if you can get it to say something.
It only talks when it wants to.
Yeah, right. Playing hard to get, is it?
Yep.
I'm the most powerful man in Australia.
Are you?
What do you think of my impressive IR legislation?
I think they're pretty crap.
Oh, that's not very erotic. I thought you'd be turned on. I have superb oratory skills.
Really?
Tell you what, this will be fun. Ask me a question, any question at all.
How about you give all of us more money?
I can't recall.
Well, why not?
I can't recall.
Okay. Are you going to go jogging later?
Oh, I certainly will be. I'm not going to wear any derps. I'm just going to have the polyester pants on and go freeballing.
Really?
I like freeballing.
What else do you like?
The Don. Occasionally I'll put on a bit of the James Last Orchestra, Hooked on Swing, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What's that bird saying now?
Just whistling.
It's kind of turning me on.
Really?
Yes.
How does a bird turn you on?
I can't recall. You like that answer?
Yep.
Oh, hang on. Oh, I'm going to have to go, I'm afraid, madam.
Why?
I've soiled my reputation.
I think you have.
That's the fine young cannibals. Good thing here at Triple M. It's Get This. Tim Minchin is here with us, sitting in for the whole hour. And if he's coming to your town with his piano, you've got to go and see him.
See him, this fella with his piano. He's real something.
Hey, thanks very much to Amanda from the Home Alone Action Line.
Yeah,
for taking part in that segment.
She was great. Brilliant. Yeah.
Why don't you give us more money?
What do you mean us?
Yeah, it's $2.75 a minute. It's just, you know, it's not enough.
The industry she's referring to. And it's obviously just with a bit of a parrot in a cage.
Yeah, that was, that's, you know, I don't know, sitting on a balcony somewhere with a little parrot.
That's not, I don't know if that's the sexiest animal you could have.
No.
You're working on a phone line. You might have a leopard next to you.
That's right.
Like that, and that would turn me on.
And a large heart-shaped velvet cocoon.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
You like to
having
think.
Having a bear going, ah, 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 that's going to ruins the moment.
Hey,
you're about to get, you know.
Tim, I know what you want. I know you want to hear someone else from Big Brother electrocuted.
My worst habits are making noises.
That's the second time she's got electrocuted.
I think we electrocuted that person already. Yeah. I reckon that's a double electrocution.
Yeah, just, look, she earned it, though. She should stop making those silly noises.
Have we got another housemate we can electrocute? I don't think. None at all. I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, that,
yeah. Maddie's pretty. He's got things on the griddle in production.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, here's a sound effect I know you do have.
Oh,
let's have talk back. Tim, we've had you in here for over half an hour and we still haven't mentioned that award that you won, the Perrier Newcomers Award.
Oh, well.
You've got nothing to say about it. There's nothing new to say about it, is there?
You've mentioned it now. No. It was good to win.
Yes.
It was fun. This is in the UK, it's everyone thinks about it, all the comedians, and it's this full-on thing. I sort of went over there going, isn't Perrier just expensive order, and then and that was good.
It's
so,
the most prestigious award in comedy.
Yeah, I guess it is. Although I didn't win the main one. I won the best newcomer.
It's
Yeah.
Sort of the junior period.
Yeah, that's
award.
Right. Good on your pal award. But
right.
it's still you know,
there's 1,000 shows on, so you know, that's a big
right.
deal.
Yeah, competed right. for extremely feverishly, and I sort of got it, which is really nice because usually. I've never won anything in my life.
Is that
know?
True, though? Because that's what I wanted to talk about today on Talkback Mountain. What have you won? Honestly, nothing at school?
Well,
not even a Bronze Star? Nothing.
No, I think I got fairest and best in under 15 D's hockey.
Oh, look, that's got to be worth a round.
Thanks, yeah.
That's how low the bar is today on Talkback
that's
Mountain.
Right. Yeah. I you get used to that.
Yeah.
Someone reading a name out and it's not yours and you just, you don't want to care, but you just care so hard. You know, I hate that stuff. So when they read my name out, I was just like, thank Christ, right. I don't have to hate everyone tonight.
I was
once in my life.
I was actually at the Perrier ceremony in 1999.
Right.
And Will Anderson was up for the award you won,
really?
the Perrier Newcomers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was standing next to him and he was acting all blasé. He's going, oh, I don't really care about awards. I'm not in it for the awards. And when they announced the winner and it was two guys doing a sketch show, I heard Will Anderson next to me go, effing sketches.
Yeah,
right. So people do care.
Yeah, especially with musical comedians. Like, there's all these stand-ups that have been really going hard in the UK and doing it the hard way, just a t-shirt and a microphone, and I come along with my shiny piano and my pretty lights and steal their award. I think
that's
probably
cheating
a little bit. And I did. I'm a comic cheat.
What about you, Ed? What have you won?
The only thing I've ever won was a rigged third grade drawing contest.
A rigged?
How do you rig that?
Well, I didn't know it was rigged. It was about Mother's Day, and I copied my friend Stephen Hollenby, because he was drawing a present and I didn't have any idea.
He's great. I love Steve's
work.
Yeah.
Archibald, look out.
Yeah.
And he drew a present. So I just copied him and then he finished and I said, see, that's where you're wrong, Steve. And I added a cat and a dog and a couple of flowers and a picture of myself and wrote Mother's Day at my place on the top. Handed in, won. And then I realized that I'd seen the big prize basket before and my mum was the head of the selection committee over who would win. So she basically just wanted the prize pack at home, so she let me win.
Oh, well, it's still worth a round. But
that's really good.
It's basically corrupt and illegal.
I think your mother needs to watch out because Steve Hollenby could well be listening this morning. And he never really let that go. Not completely. You know, he thought he did, but every now and then it comes back up for him.
Bad luck, Steve. I was the one with the chocolate almonds. Yeah, so whatever.
Too bad, mate. You know, it's not a fair world, Steve, you know, with your present.
That'll be a Four Corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tonight, the shocking revelation. Man draws present.
Yeah. Drawing gate. Yeah. The thing I've crying? Won that I'm the most proud of, honestly, is a bunch of us on The Late Show won the 1996 Video Software Association Retailers Award for highest selling comedy video.
Wow.
For Barjas.
Ah, yeah.
And we had struggled for 3 years to get Barjas out on video, and the ABC said it would never sell, and we won that award. And since then, 10 years later, still cannot get them to put it out on DVD. Don't you think it's about time Barjas was mastered on digital format?
This whole segment was just set up so you could do that.
So that I could get this. That was my master plan. Yeah. I will do anything to talk about Barjas coming out on DVD.
There will be an email going around. It's a petition. It's called Get Tony Martin's Barjas on DVD, can send it to your local DVD retailer.
Forget that whole global warming nonsense. Yeah, this is the important issue. Yeah,
let's have a chat.
All right. We want to find out what you've won. It doesn't have to be a big-time fancy award, Perrier award. It can be just something, you know, that you picked up at the local church fight for...
A meat tray.
Well, that would be good. We'd be that impressed if we heard about someone who'd won a meat tray. Give myself, Ed, and Tim Minchin a call. 1-3-3-5-3.
Get this.
It's not sexy, it's not glitzy, it's not glamorous.
For Census 1-2-3-4 on Triple M.
Bad day here at Get This on Triple M, and Tim Minchin is sitting in. He's our co-host for the whole hour. He's added, he's just spontaneously during the program added a new show to his Melbourne season. Sunday night, is it?
Yeah, Sunday night. I was going to be finishing on Saturday. I'm finishing short of the comedy festival because I've got to go to Brisbane next week. But
yes.
I've got a new show this Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and that's Sunday the 30th. And I thought we'd give away some tickets.
Oh, look, we hardly ever give away anything on this. So this is like pretty much like giving away $1 million, really, for us.
Yeah, it's good because people like winning stuff.
Well, the people we're going to meet.
Nice link, Tim.
Well done.
Bam, bam, put me on the radio. I'll sort out the stuff for you.
Well, let's sort out the callers who have all won something. I understand Virginia's with us. Virginia, what have you won? You've won a sound effect. Sorry, we can't do anything. There's too much protocol on this program. Virginia, are you there?
Yeah.
What did you win?
Years ago, you and Mick Malloy gave me a Harley Davidson outfit.
Did we really?
Leather?
Why the hell did we do that?
Because I gave my son the dying blue tongue lizard mouth to mouth.
Ah! Yeah, that sounds like our show.
What?
I can't believe we had a Harley Davidson outfit. That was a pretty good prize because as far as I remember, mostly we just gave away Mexican currency. That was the big prize on Mark Malloy was 500 Mexican pesos.
I remember.
And we never ever knew how much that was worth.
How much?
In dollars. And the listeners didn't care. They just went, I want the Mexican currency.
Weirdly, they tend to spend that money on Harley Davidson outfits.
And is the outfit still hanging in there, Virginia?
It certainly is.
Is it leather?
No, it was denim.
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever worn it?
Oh, yeah, on the back of the motorbike, yeah.
Oh. Yes. For giving a blue tongue mouth to mouth. You are an angel, Virginia.
Thank you.
And here you are being affirmed again for that action. Years later.
You're going to call us back in another 5 years?
Yeah.
Give me something else.
I won Tim Minchin tickets for telling you how I won a Harley Davidson outfit. Thank you very much.
Thanks. You get sweet, sweet tickets.
I think we've got Darren on the line. Darren.
How are you guys?
Hey, not Dan, bad. What did you win?
Years ago, I went to a nightclub in Sunshine, and as a door prize, they were giving away a holiday. And when they pulled my number out, I was with a mate, and we started giving each other high fives and that sort of stuff. And when we went up to collect it, it was to Frankston.
Oh!
Where's that?
Frankston is down the Mornington Peninsula in Melbourne, and certainly don't want to insult people who live in Frankston, because, of course, Frankston is the home of the Frankston International.
What's that?
That's my favourite named hotel in all of Australia, the Frankston International. Was that where you were staying?
No, in a little motel across the road from the 21st Century Dance Club.
Oh, where Mick Malloy used to work as a bouncer.
Apparently.
And once got beaten up.
Yes.
In the car park on the night, this is absolutely true, Mick Malloy was beaten up in the car park of the 21st Century where he was working as a bouncer on the very night the tape stopped playing when Betty Boo was on stage. Remember that? It was our own.
Yes.
It was our own wow. Milli Vanilli.
Well, that's.
I don't know if they. I don't know if Mick was somehow responsible for the tape stopping.
I wasn't there that night. In any case.
No. Hey, what did you do for that fabulous prize weekend?
I actually had a because I was with one of my mates that night when we won the prize. So I actually had a blue with him when we got there and there over the sleeping arrangements because there was only one bed. And I was the one who was holding the ticket. We ended up having a blue. He went up the road to Leggy's and I went to the 21st Century Dance Club.
Oh, that right. Sounds great.
All right, you go to Leggy's, I'm going to 21st.
Yeah. And then we'll sleep head to toe or whatever the French
that's
call
pretty
it.
Much, that's pretty much what happened.
That's fantastic.
Well done.
Well, I guess anything would be a good prize after that. Thank you very much, Darren. Let's meet Paul. Paul, what was your big prize?
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Guys, I entered a cocktail competition once at a big five-star Sydney hotel.
Yep.
And I came out on top, won the competition.
Yes.
Won a snow weekend.
Wow.
Which was a pretty good result. But then the two companies, the liquor company that sponsored it, and the hotel never came through with the goods.
Oh.
Got it.
So I think you're calling out for what I didn't win.
Oh, well. One but never received, I guess.
All right.
Can you name names?
Yeah.
I mean, let's point the finger here. We'll get a petition.
Should we really point the finger at United Distillers, the company that supplies Baileys and the Sydney Hilton? Oh. I mean, is that what we're here to do?
I don't think we are.
I don't think we were either.
I'm sure we wouldn't even be allowed to say something like that on air.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky you did.
I wouldn't want you guys to say Sydney Hilton or United Distillers and Baileys. I think that would be completely unprofessional, wouldn't it?
Three men in suits are walking towards the studio right now. Oh, hang on, they're from the Frankston International. It's fine.
Oh dear, what? I can see four guys in a dark car behind me.
Well, I'm not even sure if we're still going to air, but thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll never ski again.
Let's try and clean up this mess with Max's assistance. Are you there, Max?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Not bad. What's going? What have you won?
Back in high school, I won a religious education award.
Oh, what did you? What was the prize?
How many did you convert?
I was at a Christian Brothers College, I must add, so...
Yeah.
Come on.
And the prize was?
Well, it was a $20 book voucher.
And the Lord's Bank giving forth book vouchers.
I had enough Bibles to last me a lifetime.
What did you do? What did you do to win the award?
Well, basically, my nose turned brown, so...
No, come on.
No.
What did you do?
I studied really hard.
Oh,
very, very studious person.
And what did you buy with the book voucher?
I bought 10 turbulent years. World Series cricket.
Of course you did.
The other religion.
Well, that's a fantastic selection of prizes. Thanks to everyone who called in, bitter and twisted or otherwise.
Oh, so good.
And now we need to go and speak to the lawyers here and get this. That'll be those divinals winding up, well, another week of Get This. Tim Minchin, thank you for sitting in for the whole hour.
I've had a really, really hour-long time.
It's been a whole hour.
It's been fantastic.
It's been 60 minutes in a row. And don't forget, he's still on in Melbourne. He's got an extra show on Sunday. And Brisbane next week at the
Powerhouse.
Brisbane
next week at the Powerhouse doing Dark Side and then Sydney Opera House the week after that.
With new gear.
With new stuff.
Yeah, have you written that yet?
What do you mean?
Confused.
Stop putting pressure on me. I find it hard just getting up. Why are you doing that to me, Tony?
It's ages ago.
Do you realise it's before 10 o'clock? Still. It's still before 10 o'clock. I've been up for hours.
In most states, it's still before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the big stories we never got to. Snyderini, has he gone yet, the Solomon Islands Prime Minister?
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, I think it was just because of his name. He's a right Snyderini, that one. I don't like him. He's a real Snyderini. I'm sure that's just really why people didn't like him.
Yeah.
What other big stories? We obviously mentioned Kevin Costner way too many times.
No. God, he's sexy. When he touches himself.
He does.
There he is.
He touches me.
Far more interesting than that movie where he dressed up as Elvis.
I liked Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, it was great with the water. It was like the whole world was water.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, it was great. You couldn't tell from the title, but that's what it was about.
And then they didn't realise till they made it. Oh, my God, we made a whole film about water.
God, we have to make a world.
What were we thinking? Elton John has a disastrous new musical about vampires out called Lestat, based, of course,
on... Apparently everyone tries to make musicals about vampires and they just don't kick.
Never works. Why is that? Have you
it's
ever done that?
Because of the long teeth. They mucks up their diction.
Intonation.
Ah. So people can't sing very well.
But he'll be fine because he's immediately leaving this to work on his new musical with animated gnomes.
It's called Diana.
No, it's called, and I'm not joking, Gnomeo and Juliet.
Yep.
That's what he's working. He's got vampires, dodgy, gnomes.
Gnomes is where the money is. Elton's pretty okay, though. He's not. Yeah. He's going to be okay. He could probably cop a few flops before he actually... And he's happy now because he's found love and he's married.
And he's selling off all those ludicrous old suits.
Mm. Is he?
He's getting rid of them.
Doesn't he give them to charity, though?
No, but they won't accept them. Do you want to see a lot of...
The kids in Africa are not going to fit into this. I'll get beaten up, Elton.
I'd like to see that, an entire African nation.
Dressed in Elton suits.
Flamboyantly dressed.
Clad by Elton John.
A lot
John.
Of those African nations are very flamboyantly dressed.
Says you.
They will be now. Look, just before we go, I think there is time to electrocute one more person from the Big Brother house.
In the house, I'm going to out-drink the boys and out-dress the girls.
Somebody shoot them.
People just love it when we electrocute people from Big Brother. I don't know if the actual electrocutions have started on the program yet, but it's worth tuning in to find out. Thank you very much for coming in, Tim. It's the end of the week, so I must thank our producer, Nikki, making the sketches, the genius Matt Dow, bear pushing the buttons, all the knob jockeys around the network, Ed Cavalier. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, you too, Tone.
And what was our phrase of the day? What do you think it was today?
Oh, anything that Tim said about Kevin Costner.
anything that was said about Kevin Costner.
Oh, can I? So if you're looking for something in the Comedy Festival this week, Geraldine Hickey's show is totally awesome.
There you go.
There you go.
That's our key phrase today. And we will be back on Monday with Greg Fleet if he turns up. Because he often doesn't. It's all thanks to Census 1234.